Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Sports editor Jay Posner is with me. Jay, Padres set to host. Wait a minute. No, they're going to be on the road at home against the Seattle Mariners for three games starting today as we tape this on Friday morning. Padres in second place in the National League West. Magic number is three. We're getting down to it, Jay. I mean, I think we're of the assumption right now that the Padres are playoff bound.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of been assuming that maybe for a couple weeks at this point, and don't really see any reason to change that. It would really take a monumental collapse at this point not to make the playoffs. As you said, magic number of three to clinch a playoff spot. It's five to clinch second place in the National League West. Still need to keep an eye on the Marlins, I believe, in order to clinch that top four spot. The Padres do have a four-game lead, though, in the loss column on the Marlins, who still have 12 games left to play, while the Padres only have nine. I think we're correct in assuming that the Padres are going to be playoff-bound for the first time in 14 years. And, you know, as we've said before, it's exciting for them. It's exciting for the city, their fans, you know, anyone involved. It's a big deal, and it's, you know, again, it's too bad that fans can't be out there, but there's no better evidence of how weird this year is than the fact that you're still sitting at home today when you were supposed to be 1,000 miles away in a hotel room. So that's how it goes.
Honestly, they better close the roof in Arlington or for the World Series in the playoffs, or there will be pestilence. The locusts will come, because that is that's what's happening in 2020. I say that only partially jokingly. It's when you're getting to the point where every loss of some team trailing you and every win of yours helps you. I mean, it's no longer theory, but every time a result happens, first off, how weird that this is happening to the Padres. And second, that means like you are close. You're on the verge, and you can start to assume it. And obviously the Padres have, because they have started to set up their rotation, because, you know, that doesn't mean they're looking ahead. Well, it does, but it doesn't mean they're looking beyond having to clinch. It's just smart. You've got to set up Mike Clevinger, Denelson Lamet, Zach Davies for September 30th, October 1st, and possibly October 2nd, when you would play that best of three division series. And that's what happened. That's what they've done.
Well, and I think they were even thinking ahead to the playoffs with how they structured things this week, where they didn't want to give the Dodgers a look at Mike Clevinger, who has never pitched against the Dodgers. I'm not even sure if they've seen him in spring training, although the Indians were in Goodyear, but clearly didn't want to do that. Probably didn't even want to have Paddock face them. It was safer just to keep him off in the distance and have him pitch today as well. So I think they're not going to say that's what they're thinking, but it's pretty clear that's what they were thinking. And it's what they should be doing. I mean, that's how this should all set up. And this weekend we'll see Paddock tonight against the Mariners. It'd be awfully strange that the game will begin without Chris Paddock on the mound, but with, you know, either Trent Grisham or Fernando Tatis Jr. probably at the plate leading off. So that's weird. And then I guess what we see Clevinger and Lamet on Saturday and Sunday.
And then if you extrapolate it out, whoever they bring up to start the second game, you know, the home game they're going to play in San Francisco next Friday. Yes. If you just, you know, forget that game, they'll have someone else or their bullpen, depending on how it has gone. But you extrapolate it out, it's lined up to Mike Clevinger. Since the day that he was acquired in a trade, you could pretty much pencil him into that spot. But it's become clear that's what they'll do now.
And they could even throw Lamet and Clevinger on that Friday in San Francisco if they wanted to. I mean, just Lamet would be on regular rest. Right. It all depends. And I wouldn't expect to see – that's one of those situations where those guys might only throw, you know, three or four innings in a game just to get some work in and then be ready for that. I guess it would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the following week. So they'll be sure to get – they'll want to get all those guys some work over the weekend in San Francisco. That's why it's really important to continue – the way the Padres have been going, maybe not so much the last couple of games against the Dodgers, which we can talk about, but take care of business this weekend against the Mariners and if necessary against the Angels on Tuesday and Wednesday, and what's turned into this really long homestand for the Padres. But take care of business, and then that way, when you do go to San Francisco next week, you don't have to worry about if you want to just throw Clevinger four innings, you can take him out when it's 1-0, and it doesn't make any difference. So that would be the ideal: win four of the next five or whatever it is, wrap everything up, and then just use next weekend almost as like a spring training situation.
Yeah, and I know how you are about momentum, Jay, and it's certainly you're correct about it. It's fake, but it might be nice also for them to win a few here after what happened against the Dodgers. It just might be nice. No. Don't call it momentum, just call it might be nice to win.
Well, I just said it'd be nice to take care of business the next two series.
But for the sake of winning also, and getting back to hitting.
Don't worry about the San Francisco series. And to me, that what your ideal is, you treat that like the exhibition games that the NFL used to play, where the result doesn't matter at all. So that's where the Padres want to be. And I don't even think you can read too much into the last couple of games against the Dodgers. I mean, the Tuesday game, Zach Davies pitched pretty well. And Tony Gonsolin was better. He's pitched really well against the Padres this year. And that should be concerning for the Padres going into the playoffs, as they faced him twice and have yet to figure out anything against him. I think they scored one run each time, if I'm not mistaken. And then Wednesday's game was just, I mean, it could have been at Camelback or Peoria or name your Cactus League site, because that's what it seemed like with the, at least from the pitching standpoint, with the Padres using nine pitchers in a game. I'm pretty sure we're not going to see that in a 9-inning postseason game. So what did you learn? The Padres were obviously looking to learn something Wednesday. What did you learn on Wednesday watching it?
That Garrett Richards is in the bullpen now, which I think that was an inevitability, but the fact that with nine games to go, they decided, hey, we're going to get this guy used to this because we feel like in the postseason, we're going to need him to be comfortable coming out of the bullpen. So that was interesting. That's that Tony Gonsolin will be lined up to be the game one starter in the division series should both teams get there. I learned that. And that the Dodgers, you know,
over Kershaw, he'll start over Kershaw.
I'm making a joke, but you know, why not?
He could be the second guy for sure.
Yeah. And that the Dodgers, you know what they did in every single series. The Padres took the first game in the first series, lost the next two. The Padres took the first two games in the second series, lost the next two. The Padres took the first game this past series, lost the next two. Now we've just talked about how we are not going to assign too much significance. On the other hand, the Dodgers still seem to be able to go, oh, there you are. You're really impressive, pesky little Padres. Here you go. We're going to bring Justin Turner back, and he's going to get three hits. And he's going to drive – or he's going to score a run and drive a run. We're going to pitch Tony Gonsolin. Oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a bullpen game. But in the middle of that, we're going to have Dustin May pitch 5 1/3 innings, and you can only hit him very well. The Dodgers are still a very, very good team.
Yeah, without a doubt. And what I found interesting, I was looking up something yesterday. Manny Machado had three at-bats against Dustin May, I think, in that game. And his exit velocity was over 100 miles an hour on all three at-bats. So whatever else Dustin May did against everybody else, Machado found a way to hit the ball hard against him. One of them was like 101 mile an hour ground out. I think he had 104 mile an hour home run, and he had 114 mile an hour single, which it's got to be one of the hardest hit balls the Padres have had all year.
Maybe he was tired of becoming a video on Pitching Ninja. That's where, right. You know, Dustin May, because that happened in the first two games where, Dustin May, look at this pitch. And those are awesome, by the way, but they don't look that weird in real life. Dustin May is amazing, but he had posterized Manny Machado a couple times. And as we found out here, to the Padres' benefit, Manny Machado is a prideful man. And he is, wanted to remind everybody he's Manny Machado, I think, here in, since August 18th, which is the day after the Padres started this run where they are now 21-7. They were 21-5 before losing these last two games. This guy's on base percentage is almost 500. He's hitting over 400. I think he has six home runs in that span, like 15 extra base hits. Manny Machado right now is without a doubt my Padres MVP. Also leads them in game winning RBIs, you know, tie breaking RBIs, go ahead RBIs. You know, and obviously Fernando Tatis could get hot here in the last nine games, but Fernando Tatis is hitting under 200 in September. So,
right. And Machado clearly has, in my mind anyway, and I know you have a vote, is surpassed Tatis in the race for NL MVP, obviously, and is clearly one of the top candidates. And we have to see how things play out. Fernando Tatis, how concerned should people be watching him over these past couple of weeks? He has not looked like the same player for most of that time, although I thought he had some better at bats on Wednesday. But what's your read on where Tatis is in this situation? It just seems so weird to see him slumping because it's just something we haven't seen before. But it is baseball, and baseball players go into slumps even for a week or two, and that seems to be where he is right now.
I'll start here. When I looked into it in terms of just the numbers, he's chasing pitches outside the strike zone almost twice as frequently as he was. So over the last, let's call this slump, eight games, this is the period that I looked at, the where he's hitting like 089 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's below 100. Not striking out much more, but grounding out an awful lot. And he has chased almost half the pitches outside the strike zone he's seen, including making quite a few outs on those types of pitches. And he was chasing only a quarter of the pitches. So do the math. The guy has been one of the most selective batters. He has been able to ward off slumps. And here he is. He has gone two games in a row. I think he went two without a hit, got a single. Two without a hit, got a single. He's gone the last two without a hit. It's never happened in his career. It's a slump. Is he tired? I don't know. As you mentioned, this last game he played or he hit the ball really well. He did not strike out. He also has made some really nice plays in the field, though I will say that there's also been some throws that are a little off. I don't know that I buy that he's not a little bit tired. Everybody gets that way during the season. There's been a lot of demands on him off the field, you know, more than most players during the season when the media is not allowed in. You know, there's sponsor things. There's national broadcasts. Heck, he was talking during the middle of one of the national broadcasts. you know, there's just a lot that goes into it. I think that perhaps, maybe it's a good time for he and Jake Cronenworth, who's also slumping a little bit in September in about 205. Maybe it's a good time for them to get it out of the way. I will note the Padres said before the season, now this was before a 162 game season, they were not going to play him this much. Mm-hmm. That last year, Fernando went like 48 games in a row starting. And that preceded his being hurt for the second time with the lower, the stress reaction in his back.
Right.
Well, he's played every game. He's DH'd, I think, three times. He's played every game. They haven't had as many off days in this period. Padres have had five, thanks to social unrest, protest, and the COVID-19 scare on the Giants. But that's five games off in 2 months. I do think he's a little tired. He's also Fernando Tatis, since he's never had a stretch like this before. Let's just go ahead and bet that he's going to come out of it.
And, you know, yesterday, off day, they played this weekend. They're off again on Monday, a couple more games. They're off on Thursday. If everything goes well, like we talked about, you could certainly get one or two, at least one game off over the weekend in San Francisco. That's a case where you would not want to see him maybe play both games on Friday, or at least DH one of those games. Right. So there are opportunities for guys like him and Cronenworth and anyone else who, you know, might be tired to get a rest here. I do want to mention one other thing. You talked about Machado and how great Will Myers has been all season. He took a pitch that the Dodgers starter threw on Wednesday. And I think it was a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. It seemed like it was about 6 inches inside, and he managed to turn on it and get it inside third base and between third base and the third baseman, and then hustled a double out of it. And I thought that was one of the more impressive pieces of hitting. It's like, why is he swinging at that? It's like, oh, wait, he just got a double out of it. But that kind of shows how well he's locked in most of the time. Now, he did have a bad at-bat in the ninth inning on Tuesday night, when they had the bases loaded. He swung at the first pitch, which was he absolutely should have swung at. It was right down the middle and he missed it. And then he swung at two balls. And that was kind of like the old Will Myers, like he sort of reared its ugly head, like chasing in a
where situation. Where it stuck out because he hasn't looked like that.
I know. And that's
at all.
Exactly. And, but you know, again, then he comes back Wednesday and gets a double on a pitch he should not have been able to hit. So, that's good. Speaking of guys that we haven't seen, what should we expect from Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer over the next few days? Do we think either one of them will be back as early as this weekend, or maybe the Angel series, or what? What's the latest on those two guys?
I'd be surprised if they're not back this weekend, and shocked. Shocked is worse than surprised. Shocked if they're not back by Anaheim. They are raring to get in. I do not know what they did yesterday, but they've both been continuing to do work. I think that maybe Hosmer has surprised them with how quickly he was able to do it. But the fact is that finger isn't really, besides throwing, it's not crucial. Yeah, you want to have all 10 fingers, and you want to have all 5 fingers to use on the hand that is your hand that you throw with. But Eric Hosmer has looked really good, and every single day getting a little bit better. Surprised if he's not in today, if we don't have a word pretty soon.
And of course, I mean, if he does need to DH, you know, they do have Moreland to play at first base, at least against right-handers, to be able to do that. And it's interesting that, you know, while Pham's been gone, the guy that's been in left field, Jurickson Profar, has been fantastic. I mean, this is the Jurickson. You know, you always wondered about Profar, and we knew that Preller really liked him all these years. And it's like we're seeing over the last month or so exactly what Preller saw in Profar, because he's looked tremendous. And that's another guy that, you know, I'm not sure how the lineup's going to work as we get into the postseason. We'll discuss that more as we get closer, but the way Profar is going, he needs to be in there. You know, what that means for other people, I'm not sure, but right now Profar's made a really strong case that he should be, you know, part of the lineup going into the postseason.
If Tommy Pham is hitting, then, and who knows, maybe it's Tommy Pham is hitting. He can hit from both sides, or he can hit pitchers throwing both sides, but he and Moreland maybe switching off. I don't know, but there's nothing that you say, ooh, Moreland has to be in there at DH, because, you know, Jurickson Profar has to be your left fielder at this point.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I'm not sure we would have, you know, a month ago when Tommy Pham went out, I don't think we thought we'd be sitting here on this day and saying that. But he's really shown well over that period of time. Who else is in a situation where that you really want to see how they react over this next week? I think the bullpen is always interesting, and Emilio Pagan coming off his rest looks like the Emilio Pagan that I think everybody thought the Padres were getting when they made the deal. He's what, throwing at least 1 or 2 miles an hour harder now than he was,
like 2 miles an hour harder than he was. And that's consistently, like, there's nothing down. I mean, everything is 95, 97. Mm-hmm. He was not reaching that at all, at least the previous three, and his average was a lot lower. So I think that's like, all right, cool. That's set there for him. How do they, you know, you're not necessarily looking to fill innings in the postseason, right? So where you make argument for certain guys in the regular season, like a Craig Stammen, like a Luis Perdomo, Craig Stammen now has 5 scoreless innings. He's back, you know, every single year, Craig Stammen's May stunk. Is his August his May? You know, his middle August to middle September, his May? How are they thinking that they would use Craig Stammen in the postseason? It's the bullpen that Pierce Johnson had been pitching really well, and he still has. I shouldn't have said had. I absolutely think he's a lock for the postseason, but how they start to set that up. Obviously, they wanted to see Joey Lucchese. I don't know that there's enough time to flesh out that experiment of Joey Lucchese in the bullpen. So that to me is nah. I think Joey's going to have an extremely long career as a number 4, number 5 starter for some team. And he's going to bring the Padres some sort of prospect, but that's his future for the Padres.
And it was weird because if you really look at that the inning, he really wasn't bad. I mean, the pitch that Muncy hit was, you know, almost out of the strike zone and kind of pokes it down the line. And then the fielding was worse than the pitching on the other thing.
But I still think they have time to say, this is a guy we can count on out of the ball.
I don't see that happening, especially when you've already got a Pomerantz and Hill and Strom to throw and Morihone all to throw from the left side. I think Morihone's a guy that you want to have just in case something happens to a starter. Morihone's a guy that can come in and sort of be that long reliever and give you, you know, two, three innings. And he's been great. Do you think anything on Strom? Do you expect him back?
He did a bullpen the other day, and I would expect that he would come back. One thing to keep in mind, and you talk about, wow, that's a lot of lefties they got down there. Matt Strom has said, and his first baby is due, his daughter is due October 15th.
Okay.
So he'll go into the bubble, right? He'll be good to go. He has said it's a no-brainer. He's out once his wife goes into, or, you know, I don't know what the timetable is, but he's out. He's going to be there for the birth of the baby. You leave the bubble, you got to come back into the bubble, and that's a process. So one thing to keep in mind is they got four lefties to start, right? I think I just did the math in my head, right? But they might not have four lefties if they advance. So there you go.
I think they'll be happy to deal with that if it means that they can advance past the first couple of rounds. And if the baby is on time, you're talking about that's the week of the NLCS, which would mean that they've gotten past the Dodgers as well. So I think everyone would take that right now if Matt Strom had to leave, and who knows what it means in terms of, we'll look into that more coming back into the bubble. But those are good problems to have, and it's certainly not to say that that's a problem for Matt Strom, because it's a great occasion and he should be there, and I don't think anybody would rationally hold that against him in that situation, including, you know, obviously his teammates, many of whom have been in that situation.
A lot of good problems this year.
And this weekend, said we got Paddock, Clevinger and Lamet lined up to watch against the Mariners, and be weird. Now, will the Padres be wearing their home uniforms? Do we know?
I don't know, but I'm assuming we're going to see those sweet road pinstripes. I'm assuming that's where it's going to be. They're the road team, man.
They should be.
The announcer going to treat renouncing the Padres? Are they your Padres?
Do the Mariners bring down their, maybe the Mariners have their PA guy.
Does he get all excited for the Mariners and then really quickly read the Padres starters? What are the graphics on the board? Does it really matter? Not really, but the Padres have talked a lot about how comfortable they are playing and how great they've gone out of their way. And I don't think it's bogus to compliment the game day production crew, because quite honestly, it's way better than any of us thought that it could be. So it'll be interesting.
And do they wear the camos on Sunday? There's another one.
I don't know if you can honor the military when you're on the road at home. So I sure hope so, man. So, all right.
Lots to look forward to. I'll see you out there one day, and looking forward to that. And then we'll talk to everybody, I guess, on Tuesday, before the little quick series against the, I almost called them the Anaheim Angels, but
yeah, why not?
That's what they are. Anyway, Mike Trout will be here. So,
if the Padres have their way, Mike Trout being here will be the most exciting thing of that series. They hope that it's a meaningless series. We'll talk to everybody then.
All right, have a good weekend.